Okay, we're going to start here on the Mishnah on Chaf Amud Aleph. Mishnah is comparing Arachin and Nidarim. Chumer ve'arachim midudarim. Arachim has certain chumrot that don't happen by Nidarim. Ketzad. Homer erki alai umeit. If he says that I'm going to give my Erech and then he dies, Yitnua Yorshim. He's already obligated. There's no assessment needed because it's just a table in the Torah which looks at gender and age. And therefore we know what he owes and the Shibud is chal right away and therefore the Yorshim are going to have to pay it. Dmei alai. On the other hand, we saw this at the end of yesterday's daf. He says that I'm going to give my value, umeit, and he dies, lo yitnua yorshim. Then the yorshim don't give it, she'en damim lemeitim. Since his value has yet to be assessed, the obligation has yet to devolve upon the estate, and therefore the yorshim are pturim from paying the damim that he had promised. Erech yadi ve'erech ragli alai. Person promises to give the value of his arm, the value of his leg, lo amar klum. There he says nothing because it's not an aver she nishama tluyabo. On the other hand, if he says erech roshi v'erech chavedi, he speaks about an aver, for instance, my head, my liver, which are life-dependent limbs, notein erech kulo. Then he pays the erech of his entirety, meaning that there's no such thing as partial erech. Either you pay everything or you pay nothing. Then it depends on what you promise to give. If it's you, your whole self, then of course you give the whole amount. If you promise to give about an aver, your life depends upon, then you give the entirety of the erech. If it's not, like for instance, yad and rego, then you give nothing. And here's the principle, which obviously the Gemara will ask. Right, what do we include from this? Anything. Then he gives the value of the entire thing. Chatzi erki alai. Says half of my erech, notain chatzi erko. Erech chatzi ay alai, notain erech kulo. Difference is when he says, what's the half modifying? Very good. So if the half is modifying the erech, then we say fine. Erech, we know what it is. And then he said half of the erech. That's totally fine. On the other hand, he says erech chatzi ay. He says, I'm going to give an erech of half of me, then it's modifying the way or the obligation of the erech. Then he has to give noten erech kulo, because it's obviously an aver sheneshama tluya bo, because it's half of his body. So over there, he's going to have to pay the full amount. Zeklal, davar sheneshama tluya bo, noten dmei kulo. Unpam, the same plow, same principle that we're laying out here, that anything that the neshama is tluya bo, you have to give the whole thing. Haomer erko sho ploni alai. Someone who obligates himself to give the value of someone else. Mate had no dare, vehanidar. Both parties died. Both the person who promised to give the erech, as well as the assessee, the one that he, the object of his neder, idnua yorshim. The yorshim still give the value, again, because the obligation was known from day one. On day one, he obligated himself. On day one, we know what he's got to pay based on the charts in the Torah. There's nothing to assess here. There's no extra information that we need. We need the age and the gender of the person, and that we can get right away. On the other hand, if he says, I'm going to give the value of so-and-so to the Mikdash, if the one who's making the neder, the one who's promising to bring it, there the Yorshim will give it, because the object of his neder is still alive. So we can do the assessment even post his death. His death is not relevant. The relevant person here is the object of his neder, and that person is still alive. Meita nidar, on the other hand, if the object of his neder passes away, lo yitnua yorshim, shein damim lemeitim. That separates between before when we said damav alai, when he said I'm going to give my value and then he passed away. Over there we said, oh, yorshim don't give. Here we bifurcated, we split it between the noder. The one who's making the promise, if he dies, it's not really relevant. The person who's dying who's passing away is relevant over here, is the one who's the object of the neder, because he's the one we need to assess. As long as he's still around, we can have the neder be discharged. Otherwise, then we can't have it be discharged. Now, Tan Rabbanan, Chomer b'nedarim mi ba'arachim, shenidarim chalim al behima chaya ba'of, vein nidonim b'hesig yad, mashen ken ba'arachim. So nidarim have a chomer over an arachim. The Mishnah listed the chumrot of arachim over nidarim. Here the Braita is giving us the others, which are the chumrot of nidarim over arachim. Number one, a neder of damim is chal on behima chaya ba'of, because it's just dedicating the value to the mikdash. There's no table of animals in the Torah, so if you said erech of such and such an animal, there's nothing to talk about. There's no value that you can assign that. Veini donim behesek yad. We know that the din by arachin is that we assess how much you can pay, and then based on that, if you just pay that, you're done, and you don't have to add anything else. But nidarim, that's not the case. You keep paying, until you've discharged the entire obligation. Chomer barachim nidareim. The like our Mishnah. What are the chomer of arachim over nidareim? Ketzad. Amari ki alayu meit yidnu yorshim. Demei alayu meit lo yidnu yorshim. Shein damim the meitim. So this is the first part of our Mishnah. The difference between if the person who made the neder passes away. If it's a neder arachim, he still has to pay it. The yorshim pay it. It's a neder damim, then the yorshim do not have to pay it. Amar erki alai umeit itnu ayorshim. So let's understand this. He says that I'm going to give my value to the Mikdash, my value in terms of erech, the table in the Torah, passes away, itnu ayorshim, the yorshim still have to pay it. Shema minah. From that we can conclude, milve apeh govim min ayorshim, that an oral obligation is something that you could take out of the estate. Because over here, all he did was promise that he's going to give the erech, and yet we're obligating the yorshim to pay out of the estate. Shema says, shani hocha. No, this is not exactly an oral obligation. This is a milveh haktuvah b'torahi. This is really written. It's an obligation that's written in the Torah. So it's not just some oral statement. It also has some written component to it. It says, okay, from that, shvaminah, milveh haktuvah b'torah, ktuvah b'shtar damyo. If you want to say that that's a differentiation, that means that you're suggesting that an obligation that's written in the Torah is equivalent of having it written in a shtar. So, no. The case here is, Shemad Bedin. He already went to Beit Din and they obligated him in the payment. So, that's why he's Chayav over here. He already was obligated. So, Mar says, the Kavata, Gabi Dmei Alai, Shemad Bedin, Amai Lo Yitnu Ayorshim. Well, if that's how you make the case, we said this is a difference between Arachim and Nidarim. Once he's gone to Beit Din and they've obligated him, it should be irrelevant whether the Din was a Din in Damav or a Din in Arachav. Doesn't matter whether it's Arachin or Damim. Both of those, once you're obligated by Beit Din, it becomes a full-fledged obligation, and the Yorshim should have to pay for it. How could you say by Damim that lo yinu a Yorshim? Mar says, Demei alai mechusar umdina. Erki alai lo mechusar velo klum. After the Psak Beit Din, when it comes to Arachin, you have a full-fledged obligation, there's nothing more to investigate. The obligation's there, there's no residual information or process that you need to go through. Therefore, he's obligated right away, and the Yorshim have to pay out the estate. That's not true by Damim. Even after Beit Din is mechayev him, or says that you are obligated, the process is yet to end. The process, next step in the process, is that now they have to assess the value of the individual. Without that umdana, there's no way to move forward. Now, even though the umdana is not what obligates him, nevertheless, without it, we can't know what his obligation is, and he is will remain patur, the Yorshim will remain patur, because the obligation wasn't completely assessed before he died. Now we saw that yesterday, you need an umdana. There's without an umdana, there's nothing here. You can see the Rashi in the Mishnah says, "Sheein damim lemeitim." When you paid pidyon, you paid demei nizak. Hatamu taima mishum de mishaita da azik rami alei lishlumi kashat hezek. That by nezek, your obligation starts from the moment that you've damaged the other individual. You're obligated right away, and you got to pay right away. But over here, that's not true. Over here, the obligation only happens after the assessment, after the umdana. So as opposed to hezek in other places where we're giving demei nizak, it's the same thing. You have to assess the value of the other individual. There, the obligation already is there from the moment he did the hezek. Now we just need to know how much. It's just a gilui milta in terms of how much. Over here, that's not the case. Over here, it is an obligation that depends on the umdana. The obligation doesn't happen until we have the umdana. Without the umdana, there will not be an obligation of Ahim. So now, Erech Yadiv Ragli Alai. Amar Rav Gidol Marav. We saw this earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Hei. So Amar Gidol Marav, Venotein Damea. If he says, Erech Yadiv Ragli Alai, he pays the value of his regular or his arm. True, the Mishnah says it is, it's nothing. Nothing with regards to Arachin. But in terms of Damim, we'll have to pay. Our Mishnah says that. Lo Mar Klum the Rabbanan. We don't tend to the Rabbi Meir. Lo Mar Klum is according to the sheet of the Rabbanan, that is nothing. According to Rabbi Meir, we would say it. Rabbi Meir, we bumped into in Daf Hei, says, Ein Adam Mutzid Varav the Vatala. Nobody says something in vain. So if he says Erech Yadib Ragli, he doesn't expect to end up with nothing. He must have meant something. And what we're going to say is that he really meant to say Damim and not Arachin. No. We had this earlier in the Masechta and the Gemara, they're asked the same question. Doesn't Rav Gidol Marav say the same thing later on in the Masechta, which is, Damar Rav Gidol Marav, Erech Kli Zeh Alai, Notein Damav. He says that the Erech of this utensil is upon me, he gives the value of it. So again, there it's all according to Shita Rabbi Meir, who says everybody knows there's no arachin to a kli, therefore he must mean damei kli alai, otherwise he wouldn't have said it. Twice they're bringing examples of why Rabbi Meir would say that you have to pay, even though you expressed the bilashon arachin. So Meir says, ma'u detema, what I have thought, hotam hu da adam yodeya shein erech the kli, v'gamar, v'amar l'shem damim, over there everybody knows you can't give arachin for a kli, therefore he must be talking about damim. Aval hocha mita katoi, over here he made a mistake. The sabr ki hechadika erech roshi v'erech v'di, ikinami erech yadi v'erech ragli. Just like it works by roshi and v'di, it should work by yadi v'ragli. Aval demei lo kamar. Then he obviously didn't mean to say demei. Mash malan, that even in this instance we say that he knew the information, or he knew enough information, and that's why he meant to say damim and not arachin. Erech roshi v'erech v'di, noten erech kulo, my taimo. Nafshot kamar rachmano. Now the Mishnah already gave the reason because it's a devar she nishamat tuliyah bo. But why is that true? It's because the pasuk says v'neder erkecha nefashot. That's something that is and nefesh talui bo. That's enough to be classified as a neder erkecha. Zeklal devar she nishamat tuliyah bo. So as we mentioned, the Mishnah, the Gemara's want to know letuye mai. Letuye min erkova ulamalo, above the knee, which is considered to be a treifa, that's enough to classify it as a neshamash tuliyah ba, and therefore you have to pay the full erech. Chatzi erki alai notain, tarabanan. Chatzi erki alai notain chatzi erko. Like our Mishnah, you give half of the erech. You're modifying the amount, not the individual. Yosef Rav Yehuda omer loke, notain erech shalem. Rav Yehuda says you get malkot, and then you pay the full erech. Loke, amai. Why does he get malkot? What did he do wrong here? He wasn't in violation of any law. Why is he getting malkot? Amar papa loke be'erech shalem. Likui is not a physical likui, but a likui that we force him to pay the full erech and not half the erech. My time, oh. Gzeiro chatzi erki atu erech etzio. So that's why. The problem is that we're worried if he sees chatzi erki works and he only pays half, he'll think that erech etzio will also work that way and that there he has to pay full, not half. And when you say erech chetzi, there you're already dealing with something in neshamat tuliyah bo, and therefore you're chayav in the entire erech. So chetzi demay alai notain, demay chetzi alai notain demay kulo. My time, huh? Why does damim have the same din as arachin? Because it says neder be'erkecha nefashot k'tiv. So that's the hekesh between neder and arachim comes out of the pasuk. And just like by arachin, nifashot matters, so do, because neder is juxtaposed to the word erkecha, the same din will apply by neder, that shen nishamat tuliyah ba. Zeklal, kol devar shen nishamat tuliyah ba, letuyah, again, to include min erkova ule malo. So again, once by arachin, and once by damin. Darabanan, marich chetzi erech kli, person says, I'm going to give half the erech of this kli, Rabbi Meir Omer, notein damav, he gives the value that he said. Again, Rav Meir's l'shitato, that in adam mutzi dvarav levatala, therefore erech kli really means demei kli, and then chatzi means half of the demei kli, and then you pay it. And obviously, if he said erech kli, he would pay the full amount, like he said before. V'chamim yomim lo amar klum. He didn't say anything, because v'chamim l'shitadam, that adam is mutzi dvarav levatala. So here, even in the face of where he knows for sure there's no arachim by kli, nevertheless we say that his words have no meaning. So now, Rabba Chalash, Rabba got sick, Ola Gabe Abayi v'Rabbanan, Abayi and Rabbanan came to me, Vakar Chulim, V'yatavi v'kamre. And they're speaking about this issue. Bishlama Rabbi Meir Kasavar, Ina Damutzi d'Rav Levatala. We understand his position, Oshna Kulo, Oshno Chetzio. We've seen him before by Amar of Gidol Marav, that he said it by Kulo. Now we see it over here, that he says it even by Chetzio. El Rabbanan, my Kasavre. I don't understand the position of the Rabbanan. I Adam Motzi Dvarav Levatala Afilu Kulo Nami. Why did the Breiter bring the example of Chatzi Erech? Even if he says Kol Erech, Alai, he would pay nothing. So why not have the Breiter here say Kol Erech? Why is it saying Chatzi Erech? V'im Adam Motzi Dvarav Levatala, if a person does not say anything in vain, Afilu Chetzio Nami, then he should have to pay half, just like Rabbi Meir says. So Amar Lehu Rabbo, Rabbanan Dehocha, the Rabbanan in this Breita, Ki Rabbi Meir Sabila, V'Sabila Ki Rabbi Shimon. They do hold like Rabbi Meir, but they also hold like Rabbi Shimon. Sabila Ki Rabbi Meir Damar In Adam Mutzi Davarav LeBetala. In Ochanami, they agree that a person doesn't say things in vain. Therefore, if he says something, we gotta assign some sort of value to it. V'Sabila Ki Rabbi Shimon Damar Shalom Nitnadev Ki Derech HaMitnadvim. They also hold like Rabbi Shimon, who says that when you give a donation, it has to be a way that normal people would donate. So over here, if he said kol kli, had he said the whole kli, in Ochanami they would pay. Kule or chedid nuve. Person would give that, therefore, like Rabbi Meir, in Adam, mutzi devarav lebatalani, he'll pay for the whole amount. Palge, talking about half a kli, People don't give half a kli. So even though, nevertheless, because of Rabbi Shimon, we don't consider it to be something of meaning that you gave half of a kli. Right. Homer Kosho Ploni Alai Umeit Han Noder. The Noder passes away. Mainihu. What's the case here? Shamad Bedin. Again, you're going to say this case in the safe is a case where he was omid bedin again. I know. Ha! That's the same as the ratio of the Mishnah. And the ratio of Mishnah, you already told me that if the noder dies, he doesn't pay if it's the mim, he does pay if it's arachin. We know that information already. And you already told me what the ukimta is. The ukimta is that he was amad bedin. So now we have a seifa telling me the exact same kish. My says, no, seifa, it's trichle. We need the seifa. Damav shaploni alav umeita noder yidnu ayorshim. We need it for the case of damim. Not for the case of arachin, but the case of damim, where it says, damav of so-and-so, I'm obligated to pay. And then the noder dies. Yidnu ayorshim. The yorshim have to give the money because the nidar is still around. Since they did not assess the value of the object of his nether, lo ishtabud nichse. The nechasim were not yet to be obligated in his nether. Kamash malan, came in damad bedin. Since he was already omid bedin, ishtibude ishtabed nichse, ve'umdana gluya milta ba'almahu. The shibud transpires from the moment that the psak din happens, but we still need to clarify how much that is. So over here, where we're able to clarify the amount afterwards, the mafreya, the chiv already is upon him from the moment of the psak din while he was still alive, and the nichasim are mishubadim, are subject to the lien of his payment. Psak din is, that's it, done. On the other hand, in a case where it's he himself that he assessed, and then he dies, since the umdana can never be done, we never have a gilui milta as to the amount of the psak din, and therefore there's never an obligation. The obligation's there, but we need to clarify what that obligation is. If we can clarify it through an umdana, fine. The obligation's there from the time he was alive. If we cannot clarify it, then the obligation never existed because we can never get to the amount of the obligation. Right, next Mishnah. Shor ze ola, ubayit ze korban. Person says, this shore is an olah, this house is a korban, meaning that mukdash the berek abayit, umeita shore, shore dies, v'nafal abayit, or the house falls down, patur milish shalein. Doesn't have to pay, this is what is otherwise known as a nidava. You are dedicating the object itself to Hekdesh. You're taking on no personal liability, personal obligation to fulfill it. The object is really Hekdesh is from wherever it is, and therefore when it falls down or the shore dies, it's Hekdesh's loss, not yours. On the other hand, if he says, shore ze alai ola, that this shore should be an obligation for me to bring as an ola, bayit ze alai korban, meita shore v'nafala bayit chayim l'shalein. The alai changes into a nether, which means that you've now personally obligated yourself to fulfill the nether, or to ensure that Hekdesh gets what you promised. Not necessarily this shore, but the value of this shore has to get them. If it's this shore, fine. If this shore is not around, you're going to have to replace it with the value. The Mishnah is describing the difference between what we call a nidava and a neder. Now we're going to have a qualification of this by Amr B'chia Barav. Lo shanu adamar d'mei shor ze alai ola. That's only if he says the value of the shore upon me is the obligation. Av almar shor ze alai ola says this shore is an ola, but he used the term alai, came in damar ze, since he used the specific term ze, umeit enu chayav achriyuto. And then what are you going to do with the word alai? Alai labio kamar. So Rabbi Chiya Barav gives us a more nuanced interpretation of our Mishnah. Lo shanu elo damar d'mei shor ze alai. When it says in our Mishnah, when you say shor ze alai, that you're chayav, that's only if you prefaced it with the word d'mei. If you preface it with their d'mei, then you're now obligated. Aval amar shor ze alai ola. But if you say this shor, I'm obligated to bring up. Kevin damar ze umeit enu chayav b'achriyuto. If it dies, then you're not chayav to replace it. Alai labio kamar. Well, what happened to the fact that he said alai? Alai is a personal obligation. So we were going to bifurcate. Shor ze is what I'm being makdish. Alai, I'm obligated to bring this shor up to the mikdash. The alai is not an obligation to replace the shor. It's an alai is an obligation to ensure that the shor gets up to the mikdash. On the other hand, if I say d'mei shor ze alai, then I'm saying the value of the shor I'm obligated to bring up to the mikdash. The value of the shor, well, that's irrespective of whether the shor is here or not. The shor is just the object upon which I'm assessing what value I'm going to give to Hekdesh. But since I obligated myself alai means that I must now discharge that obligation. I must make sure that that value ends up in the mikdash. So true, in one sense, I'm not obligated to make sure that that shore gets up there. I'm just obligated to get the money up there. And now we're not going to interpret the word alai to mean, I'll bring the monies up there. That's not what you said. Because you said, to make sure ze alai. Alai in that context means that I'm obligated. Alai when you're talking about a shore itself, where you makdish the davar and you bring it up in dash, there you can say I have an obligation to bring it up. But when we're talking about monies or value, there we don't say the word alai means an obligation to bring it up. Alai means I have an obligation to ensure that it gets to hekdesh. And that's the difference between demei shor ze'alai to shor ze'alai. Rashi notes the difference is because in one case where the animal is in front of you, when you say alai, you can say I'm obligated to bring it up. But when you say demim, demei, that means that the value is not sitting in front of you. The shor is going to be the value of what you assign. But that money is not in front of you. You say that alai means I'm going to bring it up. The alai means an obligation, must mean an obligation that I'm going to ensure that this value ends up with hekdesh. So, Meitav, now we're going to ask from a Tosefta. Shor ze ola, hashor ekdesh, umalim bo. Person says, this shor is an ola, the shor becomes ekdesh, umalim bo. And it has a din of mi'ilah, because it belongs to ekdesh now. Meito nigdav, if it was stolen or it died, enu chaya b'achriyoto. He has no obligation, no personal obligation to ensure that ekdesh gets to the shor, because the shor now belongs to ekdesh. It's no other obligation upon him. But on the other hand, if he says, shor ze alai ola, so this sounds like the terminology that's mentioned by Rav Chir Barav. So shor ze alai ola, shor hekdesh. Shor hekdesh umo alimbo. And therefore, if someone misappropriates it, they'd be chayav from mi'ila. Meit onignav, chayav b'achriyoto. If it dies or is stolen, he is obligated to replace it. Wait a minute. How come over here is chayav b'achriyoto? So you see there that shor ze alai ola also obligates you to bring it up. The Gemara says, mi alimu matnitin. How's this different our Mishnah? Do kim ned kamar demei? We always said that our Mishnah was a case where he said demei, achanami, the kamar demei. And also over here, when he said demei, if he says demei, then he's obligated. If he doesn't say demei, he's not obligated. Just like by our Mishnah, we said that the case, the modification that Rabbi Abraham says is our case in the Mishnah, like it's where he prefaced it with demei. If he didn't preface it with demei, then he's not obligated. He doesn't have chayav yachmito. So too here, by the bright day, it says, shor ze alai ola, but we'll modify it the same way and say that's a case where he said demei. Gemara says, how can you say that? Vav misefer gemar demei, we have a case in the sefer which says demei, resha delo kamar demei. It must be that the first case in the Tosef does not time in a case where he says demei. Diktani sefer, we have the case in the sefer that says demei shor ola, shor chulim vein molimbo. When he says the value of this shor will be an ola, then it's chulim vein molimbo. Meito nigda vein uchaya b'achriyuto. That's what we would expect. He is obligated to make sure that the money gets up to the Mikdash. Meaning that if he does monetize it, then that once he's monetized it, he has to ensure that that money comes up to the Mikdash. But until he's monetized, until he's sold the shore, that obligation has yet to devolve. So Gemara says, Reisha v'sefer the Kamar Demei. Both cases he says Demei, but the difference between them is, Reisha damar yukadesha shor lid damav. Be mekadesh the shore for its money. That means that it's kodesh from now. From this moment it's kodesh, and then I'll monetize it. Over there I have an obligation to ensure that that value ends up in the mikdash. That only after I monetize the shore will it be kodesh. So since it's only after the shore is monetized do I become obligated, the shore itself, there is no obligation there. I have no relationship to the shore until it's monetized. Once it's monetized, I say, in the future, that monetization will be kodesh. In the ratio of the Tosefta, I'm saying, from now, the shor is hekdesh for its value. But the shor is hekdesh, and then I'm going to sell it, and then that value will continue to be an obligation upon me. I'm really obligating myself in the value to be brought up to the mikdash. The shor is just the indication of that value. And that will remain there, whether the shor is alive or not alive. On the other hand, when I say that I will give the value of the monetization of the shore to Ekdesh, if the shore is not around, there is no monetization of the shore, and there's yet to be any obligation towards Ekdesh. In that case, I'll be Patur. And that's the difference between the ratio of the Tosefta and the Sefer of the Tosefta. In the ratio of Tosefta, I've obligated myself to the point where this shore is Ekdesh, and I have to get the value there. The shore is just a representation of that value. In the Sefer, I say once I've monetized the shore, that monies will belong to Ekdesh. Over there, my only obligation is once it's been monetized. If yet to be monetized, then I have no obligation because I only promised, I only gave to Ekdesh the monetization of the shore, not the shore itself. Once it is monetized, he will be obligated. That money, he will have to ensure that it gets up to the Mikdash, and he'll be achrayi. He'll be responsible if it gets lost or stolen, he'll have to bring it up. The Gemara says, Here he's being magdish something that doesn't exist. He's being magdish something in the future. The future value of this shore, once it's sold, a magdish, that's something that he doesn't have in hand now. How can he be magdish it? Samayud Amarav, Hamani, Rabbi Meir he. It must be that this Tosef is authored by Rabbi Meir. Damar Adam Magdish, Damar Shalom Balalam. Because Rabbi Meir in the Gemara and Kiddushin, in Mishnah and Kiddushin, has an opinion that you can be Magdish, or you do have control over things that have yet to happen. For instance, a person can marry a woman saying, once you convert, we will be married. Or, once I convert, we will be married. So even though it's not davar shelo ba'olam, nevertheless, if the woman accepts such a kedushin, the kedushin is chal according to Rabbi Meir. That's even but davar shelo ba'olam. So he must be the author of this Tosefta. Iked Amri, Amalei Rapopo Le'abayiv, Amalei La'arami Bachama Le'Rav Chisda, Keman, Ki Rabbi Meir. This must be, this bright Tosefta is like Rabbi Meir. Damar Adam Makdish davar shelo ba'olam. Amalei and the other party responded, Velu Keman. Of course, who else could it be like? This only way to explain this Tosefta is based on the opinion of Davar Shelo Ba De'odam. Vika Dematni Lo Aha. Some people place this statement that it must be authored by Rabbi Meir on a different Braita. It is a Tosefta that says, a Maskir Ba'i Lechaviro V'nitna Ga. Person who rented out a house to an individual, the renter. The renter is in the house, and all of a sudden the house breaks out with Nigayim. Afa pishe chalto. Even though the Kohen came and said this for sure is Nigayim, it's going to be a chalut, we're going to close it up, shut up shop. Omer lo arei shel chalifanecha. The maskir can say to the socher, the house is still standing, it's still a good house, and you have no claim against me. Nitzitzo, if they have to break it down, if they have to take out the bricks, then chayav lemin lo bayit. Then he has to bring another house for him, because now he can't say arei shel chalifanecha, because there is no house in which the socher could potentially live. As Rashi points out over here, that nitzitzo, koin chayav, amaskir lamid et bayit achel socher, mishum mazlei de maskiru. The reason that the house got nigayim is not because of the renter, but because of the landlord. The landlord is the problem here. It's his house. So if the nigayim come to him, we say, who? Mazlei garam. That it is mazal that caused it because he was a ganav or he was a tzarat ayin. The other reasons that we saw that tzarat come, it's because of the landlord. So now that the house is unusable and that it is inaccessible to the socher, he'll have to replace it. In the case where it's simply chalut, been decided, closed up, and tamei, over there, as Tosafot points out, there must be that there's no Isser Hanoah, there's no Isser to benefit from such an item, because, otherwise, how could the socher go in there? So it must be that it's mutar ba'ana, and therefore the socher can go in, even though it's not the best situation for him. But nevertheless, the house is still standing, it's there. The maskir, the landlord, can say to him, the house is there, you have no claim against me. Tosafot has another reading of this Gemara and says, even if you want to say that a bayit menugah is asur ba'ana, the case here is where he said bayit zeh. He said that I'm going to rent you out this house, and therefore as long as that house is standing, he has no obligation to replace it. Hikdisho, if he was magdishit, Hadar bo males chal ekdesh. The one who lives there, the socher, the renter, pays his rent to ekdesh. So here, you could have read the Tosefta in one of two ways. Hikdisho hadar bo. The one who's living there, meaning the renter, was makdishit. Then he is males chal ekdesh. He pays his rent to ekdesh. The other way to read the Tosefta would be hikdisho. If the landlord was makdishit, hadar bo, the socher that lives there, males chal ekdesh. Here we go, the first way that I read it, this is what Gemara is going to read it first. Hikdisho adar bo. How can the renter be makdishit? Hechi matzi makdishla. Ish ki yakdish beito kodesh amar rachmana. Ma beito birshuto, af kol birshuto. You have to own the item in order to be makdishit. The renter just simply has a leasehold on the property. He does not have ownership over the property. So achi kamar. Reread it the second way that I read that line in the Tosefta. Achi kamar. Hikdisho maskir. If the maskir, the landlord was makdishit, Hadar bo males chal ekdesh. Then the renter pays to ekdesh instead of to the landlord. Gemara says, ikdisho maskir, hechi darbe. If the maskir was makdishit, how is the renter still living in it? Mibi ila koi. That's going to be a violation or misappropriation of ekdesh. Vitu, males chal ekdesh, why is he paying rent to ekdesh? Came into Malbe, if he continues to live there, then nafik leis chal lechulin. That if he continues to live there, he was full game. He was Mo'el Begdesh. If you're Mo'el Begdesh, then the item turns into Chulin. Because Ein Mo'el Chuzer U'Mo'el. Can't have Mi'ilah Achar Mi'ilah. Once you are Mo'el in the item, we're done. It's Chulin already. And now the Schar should be paid to the owners once again, because it's no longer in the realm of Hekdesh. Gemara says, no problem. Damar k'dashi avos charo yikadesh. That he says that when the renter's money comes to me, it will be kadosh. V'ayin adam magdish davar shelo bo le'olam. The rent payment he has yet to receive. So how could it be that the rent payment is being magdish in the future? When it says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav, Hamani, Rabbi Meir. Here, who's the author of this? Tosefta, this Braita is Rabbi Meir. Damar Adam Magdish Tavar Shalom Ba'l'Ulam. Therefore, the landlord here is able to be Magdish, the rental payments in the future. When he receives them, they will be for Hekdesh. Igad Amre, the same Igad Amre we had before, Amalei Rav Papa, Labai, Vamri Lav, Rav Mari, Bar Chama, Rav Chista Kaman. Who's this right to author like? Rabbi Meir, Damar Adam Magdish Tavar Shalom Ba'l'Ulam. Amalei Bela Kaman, of course. Who else could it be like? Otherwise, there's no explanation for this Braita. So whether it's the explanation of the Tosefta that we brought before to question the position of Bechir Barab, or whether it's Tosefta here about Maskir and Sukher, in both instances, we said that the Tosefta is authored by Rabbi Meir because the way to come up with a case that in our instance, doesn't make it a question on Rabbi Barav, or in the instance of Maskir B'Socher, to make it a case that is even plausible, we must say that we're talking about something in the future, that a person is Magdish something in the future, that will only work according to the position of Rabbi Meir, who says you do have the ability to exercise Kinyanim on things that have yet to come, or things that will be in the future. And therefore we are saying that Rabbi Meir is the author of this Tosefta, because that's the only way we can come up with plausible explanations for either Tosefta. Okay, we'll stop over here.